Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and good evening. Thank you for joining us on the Vibrate and Elevate show, where we are getting ready to encourage you to celebrate Kwanzaa. I know you heard about Kwanzaa a long time ago in school, and you just probably saw it as this awesome, you know, quote-unquote, black holiday. But we want to shed some light and give you some new outlooks about Kwanzaa. So this is Ms. Controversy Bird, and I'm on the line with the co-hostess with the mostest, and I think that is Ms. D. Marie. How are you?
Yes, yes, I'm feeling good on the line in Atlanta instead of Chicago for the holidays. So, you know, I took a breath this morning, and my stepdad tells me that's all that need to happen, so I guess I'm all right.
That's what's up. Shout out to the Atlanta family, Miss Charlie May, and aunties and uncles and everybody else in Atlanta. I miss you all. And come to Miami. All of y'all need to come to Miami. And we need to do this Kwanzaa thing the right way on the beach. Okay.
Yes. Hello.
So, I gotta ask you, since you've been home, what's been like the favorite, the most, you know, memorable thing so far?
So far, I already mentioned my stepdad. He cooks. It could be like 12 a.m. In fact, it has been. And he never disappoints. We eating chicken wings 12 o'clock in the morning. Last night, I asked him to make me a turkey burger and fries. Girl, he cut the potatoes himself. I got some straight home fries and a turkey burger. I ate that thing in 2 minutes. He was talking to me. And he was like, that thing gone? I was like, and I want some more fries. He made some more fries. So my family is really, really into food and fun, and so it's already on. Like, I feel 2 pounds. I got like an extra little jiggle in my booty.
That's okay. The jiggle and the family fun and the food, and that brings me to like this whole, you know, week that, you know, everybody has been anticipating, you know, with Christmas, and you have Hanukkah, you have all these, you know, celebrations that are coming up this week. You have the winter solstice that's about to kick off tomorrow, and just a whole celebratory like vibe. And a lot of times during, you know, these times, people have a heart. You know, you might catch, you know, stepdad Brian, you know, somewhere mid-year, he might not be able to give you them home fries, right? But during the holidays, he's more than happy too. And I'm not trying to signal him out. I'm just, you know, just saying that in general, that during the holidays, our hearts get so deep and they get so much bigger. But I don't know where or on the calendar it says, no, shrink. No, you need to get real small. You ain't got time for Mary next door, you know. You don't have time for so-and-so who need a plate, who need some clothes, who need a light bill, who need a 20. You know, you don't have time for that. So somewhere along the holiday calendar mix, something gets lost. And I think that, you know, we need to change that. So that's why we're coming to you tonight to talk to you about Kwanzaa. And already at the top of the gate, you can probably hear from what I've been saying is that we're getting ready to show out for the whole year, not just during this, you know, special celebration of Kwanzaa. So we're going to go ahead and kick it off and get into Kwanzaa. Now, Z Marie, have you ever, like, celebrated Kwanzaa officially?
Yes, I have. Most people know, I just mentioned I'm in Atlanta, right? I lived in Atlanta for 11 years, so I went to undergrad in Atlanta, and I went to the AUC at Spelman, and so that is a mecca of blackness down there, basically kind of downtown Atlanta. There was a center over there where we celebrated Kwanzaa. I also bought a Kwanzaa book, and I try to celebrate it on my own, but it's really not meant for that. It's very much a communitarian type of holiday. And so it's a holiday about first fruits. And so all of that is about a community coming together. It also has a center of God, giving God the first fruit. And so, yeah, I have definitely celebrated it, but it's a community thing. So I always have to end up going to a center. So every state that I've lived in, including Chicago last year, I've celebrated it. So the only place I've never celebrated it is Miami. So if there's like a community or a place where you go to celebrate Kwanzaa in Miami, I would love to for us to get that information up, you know, on our Facebook
on
if we find it out. Okay. Yeah.
I know the multicultural, the African American Research Library in Fort Lauderdale, they do a lot of activities. As a matter of fact, you know, it's a whole library, you know, focused on us. And so it's really cool. And they have a lot of great activities, festivals, plays. I went to an awesome play last year. So definitely check your calendars and be on the up and up of different things going on in every city. And I'm glad that you mentioned that because I'm like, you know what? There's going to be a lot of celebrations coming up this week. So, but before mm-hmm. we move on, I have some questions about your first celebration. How did you feel like learning about Kwanzaa and then going from learning about it, hearing about it, to actually celebrating? Did you feel you were compelled to do so, or it came natural, or what?
All of that. Living in Miami, I never really got a good sense of self-pride as an African-American. It wasn't mm-hmm. until I visited Atlanta after Hurricane Andrew, and I saw, like, all the people with the college sweaters on. And mind you, this is, like, I'm in seventh grade because that's when Hurricane Andrew hit, 1992. And it was just, like, a black city, black middle class, black people going to school, and I never had that feeling before. In Miami, I always saw community values between the Latino community, but also between like the Haitian community and the Jamaican community. But I never really felt that for whatever reason outside of my family when it came to African Americans. And so for me, my first celebration, like, it was so needed, it was so desired. I was so curious. And the other thing is, I was going to a historically black college. So all the things that I was learning in school made me want it even more. I had become natural by then, so my hair was natural. I was twisting it, learning all that
the
kind
whole
of stuff.
Shebang.
Yes, and this is early 2000s. So this is like 2001, in fact, 2002. So it was definitely something that was beautiful in terms of bringing out more of who I could be. And I read Dr. Karinga's message for 2015. He does an annual message. It's on the official Kwanzaa website.org. But a part of what he said is like, or one of the words that was in there was potential, that kind of stood out to me as a key word. So I love that, like, introducing Kwanzaa to anybody, because it really gives you an idea of history. And whenever you have an idea of history and your ancestors, it should click in your mind, oh, things weren't always the way they are today. We come from a place. And so automatically, because of the way human minds work, we think in terms of stories and narratives. So once I see I come from a place, then I'm like, oh, where I'm going? That should be my next question. And so I think it's a very, very engaging spiritual experience. And then the other thing that's funny is you have a lot of hip-hop heads, like old hip-hop heads. Remember what we were saying on the Chirac show? Catch Chirac show if you guys haven't seen it or heard it. But you were talking about Professor Griff. So, like, you'll find that, like, a lot of people who have always kind of been, like, conscious in their rap or whatever have been on Kwanzaa. So, like, it has that element where you'll see some hip-hop heads there, as well as, like, elders and, like, maybe people who may give you more of a, quote, churchy vibe. But it's definitely more of a hip thing than it is, you know what I mean? Like, you may not realize that a lot of the people you listen to celebrate Kwanzaa
have been on it
for
a minute.
And like, so that's what I felt too. Like it was some hip brothers there, like some fine hip brothers there. I'm like, oh, okay. And just the whole black family. So again, if you just watch the news, you get one thing. But when you go to the black church and when you go to a Kwanzaa celebration, you like, oh, black families are thriving, or black families are sticking together, or black people are sticking together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You just got to go to a place where they are communing. And so it's awesome.
You have to want it, and you have to look for it. And I want to give it up to Dr. Karinga. Am I saying his name properly?
Yes.
I want to give it up to him from the Vibrate and Elevate point of view, because he literally did create a new tradition with the creation of Kwanzaa. And I think what you just described and what you were saying was that it gave us, or not even gave us, we took back the cultural components that we once had, you know? And that's why I feel so good to see different generations celebrating together, because, you know, you can pick a holiday and you know what this kind of group is doing, you know what that kind of group is doing within the black community. I mean, you know what kids between, you know, 15 and 20 are doing.
Right.
You know, they partying, it's music, it might be something else going on. Or, you know, you have your, you know, different preferences when it comes to celebration. But with something like Kwanzaa and, you know, more traditional holidays like Christmas, you have families, like, making it a point to come together.
Yeah.
And everybody being under one roof, even Uncle so-and-so, who nobody can't stand because he don't know how to cook. And he's sweaty, he be killing the ribs. Hashtag, I'm sort of kind of a vegan. But anyway, you know, like, I think that this is an important platform, and that's why I wanted to, you know, start my statement by giving, you know, my praises to Dr. Karinga for creating a new tradition, because we need more things like this. This is something that was well thought out, and I'm encouraging us, as you know, the founders of Vibrate and Elevate, to move forward and always seek out new traditions, whether we're making our own or supporting someone who has a great, you know, cultural cause. And that's what I see here, and that's why I think it's so important. This year will be like my official year in celebrating Kwanzaa, and I'm reading these different websites. I'm like, man, I need to practice my pronunciation of some of these words. You know, and just really taking it all in, because the seven principles of what it's about is what I'm down with, and I'm looking forward to embrace it more. You know, as we're, you know, approaching next Saturday, as we're going to kick it off down here in Miami. For those of you that don't know, we have joined forces and locked arms with Unconquered Mind Service Group, and we have actually adopted a family here in Miami where we're going to be, you know, doing what we can to provide our service to them during the Kwanzaa holiday and commune with them and just, you know, have fun and giving back. So I'm looking forward to, you know, I got an outfit for every day, okay?
They not
that's
ready.
The Miami way. You be from Miami, but you ain't have no outfit.
You know,
I don't even want
to
call it a wardrobe. It is an outfit.
You know,
it's
you need an
outfit. Yeah,
Fitted. Like, hashtag,
you know,
20th Street. Shout out to Miss Charlie May for, you know, the endless trips to 20th Street to get a linen suit. So, yes. The African.
Classic Miami. Oh, my gosh.
The African linen suit is going to be on blast, and shouts out to the River Nile, who designed my first outfit that I'm wearing. So it's vintage. I'm really excited to be rocking it and looking forward to all the, you know, festivities. And on that note, Marie. Oh, go ahead.
Yes. I was going to say, Miss Controversy, you got to come up with seven outfits. I'm going to lay down the in Google Saba, the seven principles. So
you
know you got seven outfits, so kill them. And I want a picture.
I'm going to be posing
all seven.
Every day.
Every seven. Okay, so we have Umoja, which means unity. These are Swahili words, by the way. Kujichakalia, which
Don't go so fast.
Okay.
Wait. Okay, so on the first one, because I need to practice this. Umoja.
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 Yes.
Umoja.
So it's like a hard U.
Okay.
Instead
Umoja.
Of a short one.
Not emoji, people. No. Umoja. Okay.
Umoja.
Unity.
Kujichagulia. Kujichagulia.
Kujichagulia.
See? Kujichagulia.
Kujichagulia. All right. And
that is self-determination. Yes. That's one of my favorites, but we're going to get to my nickname for myself in a minute. Ujima.
Mm-hmm.
Collective work and responsibility. That's number three.
Wait, but number three, can you elaborate on that one? Collective work and responsibility. That like for, I ain't going to say what I was going to say, but can you elaborate on that one for me?
Yes, I think, I heard it said just today, and it perked my ears, that America is very good at two things, sports and capitalism. So I'm a big exponent or, anti-capitalism person. But this has to do with the fact that there is work that needs to be done, right? So even though we work in a capitalistic system or whatever system your government is, because we hope that we have global listeners, we still have to work. And so this is about just tilling, even if you just looked at it as an agricultural society or agrarian society, it's important for if a man don't work, he don't eat, if you go by what the Bible says. And that actually is true. So it's about how, a corporation has to hire several people at different levels in order to accomplish the one goal. So to me, this is about work in the American sense. But, I'll be damned if it's going to mean to me capitalism.
Right.
But it's definitely about work. And, to me, you can almost read it as socialism, or I'll stay with socialism. I won't say the C word, where people are so afraid of socialism because they feel like, why would you be responsible? Why would you be accountable? Why would you participate if the work is collective, then you're going to slack off because you know that you're going to be guaranteed certain things, so you're not going to put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, this is reminding people you have a responsibility to contribute to the work.
Wow, thank you.
So, yes.
I'm going to add to that during the taboo section, or segment, actually, and I'm all with this one. Wait, let me practice. Umoja?
Umoja.
Umoja, okay.
Mm-hmm. No, because you want to say ooh. In English, we would say ooh. We would give a short U sound.
Okay,
but
Umoja.
But Swahili is U. Mm-hmm. And so then the last one we went over was number three, or Ujima. And then number four is Ujama. Some people might say Ujama,
okay.
And that's cooperative economics.
Okay.
And so remember I was talking about capitalism. Well, we know what economics are, but do we really know what economics are? In fact, I've heard an economics major tell me that what economics really means is choices and behaviors. So this is where marketing and all of those things come in, why they spend so much money advertising and blah, 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 because they want to condition people's behavior to buy a certain way. So I've heard a person who I really value say, well, economics is just choices. So that is a very interesting definition for me for this one, because that means cooperative choices. Like, wow,
right.
Let's make choices that's in our best interest. So, like, I'm all over that. Like, okay, that's we definitely vibrate and elevate and, use Kwanzaa principles in that way. It's controversy. I wonder what you think about that.
Well, I'm going to I'm going to go out of order a little bit because everything you're saying keeps hitting on my taboo segment. And the taboo segment to me is the village approach. A lot of times, you know, we know that it takes a village to raise, you know, a child. However, in the Black community, it's been taboo to call on the village. It's like, no, you need to handle your business, your damn self. And what I hear in the principles of Kwanzaa is restoring the element of the village. Yes, we need to do something collectively. We need to do things on a group level for the benefit of the group. And that has been taboo, I believe, in the Black community because it's so much separation, even within the family. When you turn 18, I'm going to need you to get out.
Right.
I'm going to need you to get all the way up. Matter of fact,
I packed your bag for you.
What?
I never wanted to go in your room, but now I done packed your bag.
I don't. You packed your bags. You got bye. I don't care what you do. Make it happen. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, I don't know where we get that from. And maybe it has something to do with responsibility. Like, damn, I need a break. I've been taking care of you for so long. Like, out. And it's just a lot of things going in reverse, a lot of things that are counter village, that are counter unity, that are counter sense. Like, it doesn't even make sense a lot of times. The things that we ask of, you know, different members in the village, different members in the family, when they're not even prepared because we haven't prepared them. Like, an 18-year-old is not ready to be out on their own.
If you didn't ready them,
right?
If you didn't ready them, they're not ready. I'm sorry, boo.
it's really straightforward and simple, and I think that that's taboo for sure in our communities and in our household. This is why, you know, holding on to something like Kwanzaa allows us a new platform to introduce unity, to introduce, you know, cooperative economics, to introduce collective work, and so on and so forth. Like, these things are real, you know, important, and they're foundational for the family. So, I mean, I just wanted to chime in on that with the taboo part about embracing the village. You know, we understand that the village has morphed. However, we can hope and pray and seek out the members of the village that we need now. That's what we can do now. We can do that on a global platform. I heard you mention global, you know, listeners. Now we can bridge, you know, the village gap globally now because of Facebook and different platforms of social media. Now I'm looking for different ways to connect with village, the big village. You understand?
Yes.
And so, I mean, that's what I'm bringing to the table right now. We got 10 more minutes in the show. And I want to make sure we finish the principles and get to your make it fly.
Cool. So number 5 is Nia. That means purpose in Swahili. And this is actually my nickname for myself. So this is my self-chosen name. So I think we all know what purpose is. In fact, Vibrate and Elevate don't do nothing but talk about purpose. So we'll move on. Kuumba.
That's my favorite.
Creativity, that's number 6. And number 7.
Wait, I'm sorry. I know I said we got 2 minutes left, but we cannot let Kuumba go just creativity without just saying something about creative culture. You know, this is where the artist, you know, we killed the starving artist a few months ago. Chalk line, everything, yellow tape. Starving artist is dead.
Dandara.
Brum. You understand me? And so now you have the resurrected creative creature.
Don't look up dead.
You understand? Like, no, they're taking over right now. Your creativity is your divine connection. Your divine creative connection is what is going to give you solutions. You understand? Whether it's art, whether it's you know how to fix things, whether you know how to do hair, whatever, that is your solution. That is also a foundational block for your legacy. You understand? So I need you to be creative. I need you to usher in your creative juices. And it's not just about art. Like when I say this in front of different groups, immediately they think about, oh, art, how art gonna help somebody? And I'm like, nah, I need you to elevate a little bit more, and then we could talk, and then we could rap. Because I'm
right.
not just talking about the easel and the paintbrush, although it's that too, you know.
No,
but
creativity is problem solving.
Right.
Creativity is problem solving. Like these companies, these Amazons and Googles, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for people with degrees, but they're looking for people with critical thinking skills. What is critical thinking? Nothing but creativity.
Mm-hmm.
How can
left,
I, how
left
can
brain
I figure
and
this
right
out?
Brain.
How can I figure this out? That's creativity. And when we talk about painting and poems and all of that, that's something that came from the imagination. It's the same thing. It's just
the
a visual, you know, yeah, it's just words or it's just a picture. But
mm-hmm.
that's making the imagination come to life, whereas problem solving is literally maybe solving a problem. It's not painting a picture, but it's coming from the same point, which is imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that you explain that and you say, well, let's elevate a little higher when we talk about creativity. That's we are creators. That's actually the backbone of who we are. So absolutely, it's not just a painter.
All right, cool. Oomba. Did I get it right?
Yes. And you said it's sexy. I don't know if sexiness is okay in Kwanzaa. But
I had to get creative with it.
I'll holler at you later about that. Okay, so amen. I'm saying amen for a reason, this controversy, because the seventh and final principle for Kwanzaa is imani. And imani means faith. So, again, we're very familiar with faith and purpose. Purpose-driven life, got to have faith. Your life is going to be, you know, not the purpose you want if you don't have faith and all these kinds of things. So we have a lot of ideas or a lot of books, a lot of resources about some of these. But other ones may be new to our listeners. And so I encourage you to go to the official Kwanzaa website, which is officialkwanzaawebsite.org. So they make it real easy for you. You can go on there and learn more. You can read Dr. Karinga's message, as well as realize that the 2015 theme, so they have themes for every year, which is pretty cool. And the theme for this year is embracing Kwanzaa's principles and practice, creating and celebrating the good. And so as I move into real quickly the Make It Fly segment, Ms. Controversy, this is what I want to say. We need to fly together. Like, I ain't doing nothing else. If I could not shower by myself, I would do it. Like, I'm so tired of living in this world, doing stuff by myself. Like, literally, I love the idea we talked about, I think, two shows ago, or maybe it was last show, where we talked about Felicia Hatcher, and we highlighted that her article about the shared economy and Art Basel. Like, shared economy, keyword right now in our day and time. We see all the things that's going on with Uber and blah, blah, blah. Like, again, shared economy. So, like, for me, I'm all about this Kwanzaa principle or the whole Kwanzaa concept, which is a communitarian effort. So my thing is fly together. Please find you an accountability partner, a partner in this life to do your thing with.
Listen, I'm sorry our time is running down. Z Marie, I want to thank you for doing some of the back research for tonight's show. And I'm with you on that Make It Fly segment. So you need to fly your behind down to Miami so we can get this Kwanzaa thing going. Listen, sorry to the callers on the line. My internet crazy. I wasn't able to get into the back office. That's why we weren't able to take callers. Shout out to Queen Misty. From the Initiative Radio, thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for everyone else. Please find us in the same spot, same place next week, 6:30. Okay, people, also check out divineandjustice.com. Change your life, okay? Peace to you, and elevate with Kwanzaa. Peace. All right, Ms. Marie.
Okay. Great show. I'm about to go to dinner with my cousin. I'll be in touch with you soon, okay?
Okay, peace. Oh, shout out to Probation Station, Unconquered Minds, and everybody else who we're locking arms with. do your best to celebrate this week.